So the epistle for the feast of Christ the King is taken from Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father, that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of myself, or have others told it to thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Please be seated. Regnavit a ligno Deus. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In his encyclical Quas Primas, Pope Pius XI, when he instituted the feast of Christ the King, he gave us an explanation of how our Lord is King. He also gave us two profound reasons for that. The religion class that I have this year, the 11th and 12th graders, we've studied why Our Lady is Queen. We kind of go to that point of ending, we can say, the curriculum and understanding the devotion to Our Lady and how important that it is. And as we studied that she is Queen, we also looked of how our Lord is King. And it is what Pope Pius XI had explained in his encyclical as he instituted this feast day. They said there are two reasons that our Lord is King. One by nature and the other by conquest. And so when we look at it by nature, we realize that he is God. And so we talk about his hypostatic union, a term that we should be familiar with. The hypostatic union just means the union of the divine person of our Lord with his human nature. The remembering that it is just one person, one divine person. It is not two persons that we see in our Lord. And so there is a divine one that assumed a human soul and a human body. But we can say by nature, he is our Savior, he is a priest, and he is King, because he is divine. And so that is what then the explanation comes out in that encyclical for us to contemplate, to think about. That we understand, yes, our Lord is King. He is King because he is God for us. And that's why we even see in the gospel account that our Lord says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that's why he says, "If it was, I would not be brought here before you." But his kingdom is of heaven and earth. He is King of both. And so that is where then we look at our Lord being our Savior. But he is also the high priest. It is from where our priesthood comes from. And then finally we say, yes, he is King. As I say, King of both heaven and earth. that he has the power and the authority over all things. And sometimes it's hard for us to gather that and to understand that when we look at the way that the world has gone. But our Lord is still king over all things. And yes, he permits certain things to happen, whether it's as a punishment to all of us, or even in some ways to illustrate his power that he has. And that is where, for us, we must understand that. And so that's why we say that he is king by nature, by his nature, his divine nature. And then when we talk about that he is king by conquest, we say that our Lord conquered all things. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. He conquered death. And it was by his death on the cross. And that is the quote that I give to you at the very beginning, Reinavit aligno Deus. God has reigned from the wood of the cross. And that's where he illustrates to us that he is also king there. Even though to the world we see that he was killed, but that he would come again, he would rise from the dead. As he promised, he would resurrect from the dead. And so he was able to conquer all things from the cross. And so that's where we say that our Lord reigns from this wood of the cross. That he has conquered all souls by right, conquered by his blood. And therefore, that is why he wants to save all of us. And truly, when we look at it in terms of that our Lord, he died on the cross for every single soul, would everyone be saved? Well, no, because they would reject our Lord. Just as we see in this time period of the Jews rejecting him, his own people rejected him as being the Messiah. And so that is where then when we see that our Lord, by conquest, that he has conquered sin. He has defeated the devil through that. And so again, it brings us the hope and the consolation that we know that he will be victorious over all things. Even if seemingly that it seems the devil has the upper hand, or the people that work against our Lord seem to be in control, God won over all things, and we have to trust in that. And that is a consolation to us all, that through the cross, he was able to defeat the devil, defeat sin, defeat death. And that is what we are striving for. And so then the Pope continues, how must our Lord be king for us? So he kind of explains three reasons for us. So the first, he talks about that he must be king of our intellect because he is the truth. And again, we see how in the gospel our Lord verifies that. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so we know that our Lord is the truth, yes. So then the question for us, is he truly the king of our thoughts? Do we direct our lives toward our Lord Jesus Christ? And again, that is what this whole feast day is about. That we understand and we live our lives accordingly that our Lord is the King of all things. And it will be illustrated by how we live our lives. I mean, do we live our lives truly in understanding that? Understanding that truth that is apparent to us. And that's why the question becomes, is he truly the king of our thoughts? And so we know that it's the law that our Lord gives to us, the commandments, they are what we are meant to follow. We know that they are inscribed in our hearts, and that is the path for us for eternity. Do we live that life? Certainly we see the world and how it has turned away from God's laws. But for us, we have to live that life. And so then a second reason that the Pope gives to us is that our Lord must be king of our wills. And therefore, we must conform our will to God. We talk about seeking God's will. And this is truly what it means on a daily basis for us. And again, that is the illustration of us if we say that our Lord is truly the King for us. If we recognize this feast day as Christ the King, truly, well, then our intellect and then our will be directed toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we must conform ourselves, our wills, to his laws, to his commandments. And again, asking the question, is our Lord truly King of our will? Do we love God above all things? Do we love our neighbor for the love of God? Again, that is the illustration of what this feast day means for us. We can say the practical application of that. And then finally, the Pope sums it up by saying that he must be Lord of all things. He says, omnia in omnibus. So our Lord must be the King of our hearts. So we see the progression of that, the intellect, the will, our hearts. All of these things must be attached to our Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to say that he is truly our King. And so as I say, these are kind of, we can say, the practical application of what this feast day means for us. It is one thing to take part in the procession, is one thing to say, Vivo Cristo Rey. But it's another to live that life every day. And that where we recognize that in our daily lives, that he is the King of our intellect, King of our will, King of our heart. And so that is the reflection that the Pope gives to us in establishing this feast day. I mean, that is where then also it's a beautiful feast, a beautiful encyclical for us also to read, to understand that our Lord must be King of all things for us. Omnia in omnibus. So as I say, let us take this as the reflection, and as we walk in the procession, to really try to grasp what it means for us and how it must be applied in our daily lives. So that, as we can say in the Angelus, in order that by his passion and cross we may be brought to the glory of his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.